Let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. All right, that sounds better. Okay. Well, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is and was and is coming again. Now, do you believe he's coming again? Amen. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming. Let's be ready. Well, just a little rundown of what the plans. This morning, we're not going to have any children's story time. Because you just had children's Sunday school. So this evening we'll begin where the young ones will come up front. We'll have a story. Sometimes they have to help me in putting it together. We'll have lots of candy to give out. So parents, be ready. I'm not responsible. I'm just giving it out. So you'll take care of the hype. But we'll have lots of that for the children. The theme for this week is the mercies of God. The mercies of God. We're going to begin with the mercies of God. We're going to end with the holiness of God. Because sometimes we talk about that this morning, about love, 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 love. And that is true. God is a God of love. But he's also a God of holiness. And he's called us to a higher standard than the world. So we're going to do that this week, God willing, and pray for me. And my wife is here with me, June. We've been married for a long time. I will begin every session with a little part of my story. Now, I'll get to a certain part of the story where I will say, and something happened. When you hear that, then the story ends for the day. We go into the message. So when you hear that, it's a good time to relax, all right? So I will begin with a story. Now, before I begin with the story, there's a song I like to play almost every time I share my story. And it talks about the mercies of God. The mercy of God. So I have it played now, and you can listen to it. It's not going to play the whole song. When I come up here, you'll kind of take it off. But it's a song that really ministers, a song that really touched me. So I hope you can do the same as I share my story.
Waiting is hot.
For the mercy of God.
Many years ago, a very long, long time ago, men and women were taken from Africa. And they were taken to the Caribbean islands, North America, South America. And many of them worked as slaves in the plantations. In the country of Trinidad, where citrus and sugarcane was a big factor, many slaves ended up in Trinidad and worked the plantations until slavery was abolished. When slavery was abolished, they needed workers to work the plantation. And they sent for help in India. Indians came from India to the Caribbean islands of Trinidad and Guyana and worked as indentured laborers. Why am I telling you that story? Because my mother, great-grandparents would have come from India. They came and worked as indentured laborers. My mother, I was told, was married to a man whose grandparents came also from India. So an Indian man married to an Indian woman, and she had a child. I was the boy that was born. I was told when I was about 3 or 4 months old, my mother's husband looked at me and thought, this doesn't look like an Indian child. Look, it has another, maybe some African blood. And confronted my mother, I was told, and she did share that she had a relationship with a man one night from African descendant. She was given two choices. Choice number one, get rid of the child. I'm not going to take care of another man's child. Choice number two, if you don't, I'm going to leave. See, she made a choice to have an affair, to fall into sin. And now she had two more choices to make. It reminds me of the story of David. The Bible tells us that David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because the kings went forth to battle, David was at home in bed, sleeping in the castle, in the palace. David got up, went out, and looked out and saw Bathsheba being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't a problem seeing her. The problem was the more he looked, the more he wanted what he should not have had. She was married. But the longer David looked, the more he wanted. Lust came in. And you know the rest of the story. A man's life was taken. David executed the man by sending him out to battle and sending a letter to withdraw and left him alone to die. See, the choices we make, there's always consequences. Some affects us, and some affects us and others. Well, My mother had two choices. Get rid of the child. You know, I've asked that question many times in prison, especially women in prison. Which one would you choose? Would you get rid of the child or would you get rid of the husband? 99.9% of the women would say, get rid of the man. But remember, this is a man that you loved and you committed to live forever. This is what, with him until you die or he dies. And he is the one that is taking care of your needs, physical needs and whatever. But what about the child that you carried in the womb for 9 months and breastfed for 3 months? Sometimes the choices can be difficult. And that's why we have to make the right choice. Well, I was told she chose what many people thought was the wrong choice. She chose to get rid of the child. And she thought the best way was, since the child is a problem, is to get rid of the child permanently. And I was told I was given some sort of a poison to drink. And as I was about to die, God intervened. That's my belief. And saved my life. See, God had a plan for Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, while you were yet in the womb, before you were formed, before you came forth out of the womb, I have known you. And I've called you to be my prophet in all the nations. I take it as a call from God in my life today. See, God knows us even while we're yet in the womb. He knows us even no matter that I came out of a sinful relationship. He has a plan for our life. But you know, growing up as a young man, when my biological father heard what had happened, he knew he had an affair with this woman. And when he heard that the child was his, he took me but could not really take care of me. So I went from place to place. But I remember the very first time seeing my mother, how angry I was. See, because I've heard over and over, time and time again, that the woman that was supposed to love me and protect me was the one that tried to kill me. That brought a lot of bitterness and hate and anger growing up as a young man. It took a very long time, a very, very long time for me to come to the place I am today, only because of the mercies of God. But you know, while I was growing up, I would hear about what she had done, and I always thought about it. The one that was supposed to protect me and was the one that tried to get rid of me. And I think about it so many times as my wife and I travel around the country. And many times we meet women who had been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. And many of them have come to the place where they can't forgive themselves. Even though they were not the one that was guilty of the crime. The crime was committed towards them, but they believe because of what had happened, they could never serve God. Even though they have come to the place to realize it was not their fault, but yet forgiveness and receiving the mercies of God is kind of difficult. Well, I remember very clearly the first day I saw my mother. I was about 11 or 12 years old. And that anger inside of me. I didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want to see her. She lived in the village where I was staying at the time. And I saw her. And someone said, that's your mom. And that anger was inside of me. But you know, growing up also with my dad, he was a very hard man. He was a lonely man. As a matter of fact, at his funeral, there were somewhere between 5 and 7 people at his funeral. He lived a lonely life. A very angry, Today I know he loves me, but he never said it. Today I believe he does, or he did. And that caused a lot of bitterness and anger within me. Very hard. I remember one day something happened. And this evening we'll talk about what happened. But for now, I want to get into the Word of God. But before I share the Word of God here, last week, matter of fact, I got some candy in the front there. So if you're 13 years and younger, you don't have to come up front now, but if you answer the question, you come up front and take whatever you want. The limit is 2 per person. But I'm going to ask some questions. If you were here last week, you should remember the message. So the first question is, last week, Brother Harold preached, right? Am I right? Does anybody remember that? You remember that I'm preaching this Sunday, right? You remember that this evening, right? Anyway, last week he preached from the book of, what was the book of the Bible? And what chapter? If you're 13 years and younger, let's see if you remembered last week. What book of the Bible? You can get a little prompting from your parents if they so desire to give it to you. If your parents are not here, well, you're on your own. What book of the Bible did he preach from last week and what chapter? Just put your hand up if you know what it is. Even with the parents prompting you. I guess. Anyone wants to make a try for it? No? All right. Any of the parents could remember? What book of the Bible did Brother Harold preach from last week and what chapter? Well, you got one part right, Luke. And you got the 5 kind of good, but if you add a 1 to the 5, you'll get 15, I believe. Right? All right, so come on up. Since you're the closest, come on up. Luke 14 and 15, I believe. Am I right, Harold? Right, 14 and 15? Okay. So just go ahead and take whatever you want, it, one of each or whatever. The second question is, if you remember now, I remembered. Okay. He preached on three different parables. It was the parable of the parable of the. What are the three parables he preached on? What are the three parables in Luke 15 he preached on? He did speak about 14, but his main message was on 15. Who wants to put your hand up and give me the three parables? The parable of, somebody here? All right, go ahead, young man. Yeah, you in the black shirt. Very good. Come on up. The lost coin, the sheep, and the coin. And my last question is, in that parable, there were three main characters in the parable of the lost son. Who were the three main characters in that parable? There were three people, three men. Who were the three men? Go ahead, young lady. Yeah, you. The father and two sons. Come on up. Okay, good. Now we got some candy left for tonight. We have a whole jar coming anyway. We're going to get into... When I heard what you preached last Sunday, I listened to it to be sure that, okay... this was something I've been preparing a long time before I even knew you was going to preach on it. And I thought, well, maybe I should not preach on it anymore since he did. But I got a thumbs up from him. I can go ahead and just piggyback off of him. And we'll just continue and unpack a little more. As a matter of fact, we're going to be hearing about these three men for the next three sessions. Today we want to begin with the lost son. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Luke. The 15th chapter, Now, he already talked about the lost coin. Remember, in the lost coin, a woman having 10 silver coins, she lost one, and she lighted a lamp, she swept the house, she searched carefully until she found it. In verse 9, chapter 15, and when she found it, she called her friends and neighbors together, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. The mercies of God. Then he also talked about, a little bit earlier, the lost sheep. Man had 100 sheep. One went astray. He left the 99 and went after the one. Was it the 99 was not important? It was. But each and every one is important. And I think Brother Harold spoke a little bit more on that last week, so I wouldn't get into that. And now he talks about, let's continue now in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. If you would stand with me, we'll read God's word. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and is no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead. Again, he was lost and is found.' And he began to marry." You can be seated. Let's unpack that. Let's look at this young man. So, again, Brother Harold spoke on some of these issues that I'm going to be talking about. In the very beginning, we see rebellion. We see rebellion from this young man because he came to the place where he wanted to get away. He wanted to rebel against the authority. The authority that was set up was his father. His father was his authority. We see that in life many times today. Rebellion. Rebellion in our society, rebellion in our homes, rebellion in our churches, rebellion against our government, rebellion against God. So we see, number one, rebellion from authority. Number two, selfishness. It's all about I. It's me. This is what I want. Doesn't matter what you want. Doesn't matter if I hurt you. Doesn't matter you're not dead yet. Just die so I can get what I want. Just get out of the way. Just move. Just leave. Just get out. I'm going to be dead to you, as a matter of fact. I'm going to be gone. I don't want authority. I don't want to sit under you. I don't want to be a part of this family anymore. I don't want to be a part of this church anymore. I don't want to be a part of this society anymore. Matter of fact, today, some would even say, I don't want to be a man anymore. I'll take the other gender. Disrespect. Treated his father like he was dead. Dad? Now, well, you got an explanation last week a little bit better than I would give you now, but back then, you know, when a person died, even today, you know, just last week we had to do what your will and whatever you call it, to make sure when we die, everything is given to whoever we desire to leave it to. Could you imagine one of my daughters or son come and said to me, Dad, hey, listen, I saw that you did the will, but I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. How offended would I feel? What about you? Disrespect. And the fourth one is pleasure. Seeking. Satisfying the lust of the flesh. Heard of New York City, man. New York City, you know, it's all. You know, when I went to New York City, and I'll share a little bit about that in my story, I thought this was the right place to be. I mean, it satisfied the flesh. If you want drugs, it's in abundance. You want alcohol, it's in abundance. You want women, it's abundant. Whatever the flesh desire, it's there to fill it. Pleasure. All pleasure. You know, some years ago, New York City had a blackout. And I remember Times Square. You know, many people come to New York City, want to go to Times Square, all the lights. Vanity, just vanity. Solomon talked about it, you know. It looks pretty. But when the electric went out, there was no power in New York City. It was just darkness. You realize there was nothing there. We have the true light. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And instead of running after him, he ran after all the other lights. And he was running after the bright lights in another city. Maybe he heard about what was happening. You know, in New York City, we have a lot of people. When I lived there, I worked with the leadership. I was in charge of evangelism. And there were some young people that would come to New York City from rural areas in the country. And many of them were coming to New York City running away from something. Running away from authority. Running away from the family. Running away from the church. Running away trying to find a place to hide in New York City. But then they realized when they were running away, they were taking it with them. The problem was there still. Whatever they were running from, it was still there. Give me what is owed me, what's mine. Yet it was not his to get at the time. But I don't care. I want it, and I want it now. That's what happened to David. See, David looked out and he saw what he should not want or should not have. So some of us laughed at David. How many of you like to hunt? Hunters. So you see this nice bow, an arrow thing, you know, this nice brand new one. They just bring out this new style one. You don't even have to pull the string back. I don't know how, I don't go hunting, so I don't know how you do it. But it looks really good. But it's high priced. You don't have the money, but the longer you look at it, the more you're inclined to find a way to buy it. Well, I got a credit card, and I'm going to get a raise next month, or I'm going to sell this next. And the more we look at it, the more we want it. Maybe it wasn't us to get at the time. Maybe God wanted us to wait. You know, I have had that problem. Where I saw a vehicle that I like, and I want that vehicle, I want it now. And God just spoke to me, just wait. Just wait. You don't have the money, maybe I could borrow it. Just wait. And he always have his way. And then somebody would come and say, hey, listen, we have a vehicle here, you want? And I said, isn't it good to wait upon the Lord? They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings. Eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint, waiting upon the Lord. This young man didn't want to wait on the Lord. He didn't want to wait on his father. Let's see what he have now that he got and wasted. What did he have? So he waited a couple of days. He got all his money. In today's society, let's say if Hollywood were going to do a movie, you'll see this young man living on a farm somewhere, and his dad gave him the money, and he buy himself a brand new Corvette, red Corvette, and getting his car and driving to the sunset. Go to the big city of Detroit. And he gets there, and oh, he got lots of friends. We call them fair weather friends, or but he got lots of friends, or people you think is friends. And he's living the life, and everyone is loving him and patting on his back, and you know, and he's, oh man, this is the life. Back on the farm, it wasn't like this. And the pleasures and satisfying the flesh. And then his money starts going down, and then the economy starts to fall apart. And there's a famine in the land. There's a drought. And now he lost all his money. In the movie, maybe he ended up finding himself selling drugs, or, you know, doing something he never would have done. Rather than finding a way to repent and go back home. What did he leave behind? He had a loving father. He had a good home. He had provision. He had future. He had everything he wanted, like you and I have in the body of Christ. We have it here in Jesus Christ. Tell you a little story. So, my map is a message I normally preach, but I'll give you a little excerpt of the message. Of a young man that a father had a couple of small children, and he loved the church he was going to, First Baptist, and the preaching was good. But then he heard about the worship service done at Second Methodist. And the worship service was on fire, man, and he left, and he went to Second Methodist. And after a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, you know what? The Nazarene church down there, oh man, they got a Sunday school, man. I mean, when you come out of there, the knowledge you receive. I could go on and on, and he just keep drifting from place to place. No anchor. Because you hear this is looking better, or sounds better. And rather than finding a place to sit and work out the differences, and he was just running from place to place, drifting from one church to the next church. No commitment. Yes, your first commitment is to God, but what about a commitment to the body of Christ? This young man had no commitment to the family. He just went running. He traded all the stuff that he had for temporary pleasures. Don't some of us sometimes become prodigals in some way? You know, we could talk about him and laugh about him and wonder how could he do that. Ended up in a place of the pig pen. But don't we do that sometimes? When God provides everything for us, yet we are looking at something else. God provides a wife for us, yet we're looking at another woman. God provides a husband for us. God provides a job. And yet we're always looking for something better. Something outside of God's will. His perfect will for us. Each of us will face temptation that threaten to draw us away from God, even the best of us. Something will always want to draw you away. What did he end up with? Pleasure for a moment? Fake friends? I was always told, be careful the people you call your friends. You know, when I got saved, maybe I'll talk about that a little later, but I'll jump in a little bit in my story. When I got saved, I had to give up some of the friends I used to have. I had to give up some of the friends. Because they were going in a totally different direction of where God was calling me to. Later on, I was able to go back and minister to them. But at the time, I didn't have the strength. We talk about this weekend being a spiritual enrichment. It's not emotional enrichment or physical enrichment, spiritual enrichment. I had become enriched spiritually, then I could have gone back to these friends. And they could have seen me as a different person. I could have seen them through a different lens. But you know, the nice thing about this young man is that after he went through all that he went through, he tried to do it on his own. Remember, there were two people that Jesus talked about that, you know, they had denied him in some way. You had Peter. And you had Judas. The difference was Judas tried to fix it on his own. Took the money back, tried to fix it on his own. Peter just cried out and repented. What did the prodigal do when he got to the last? The Bible says when he got to the last, he came to the bottom of the barrel. Can you think of a job that, man, it's like, oh, I wouldn't, it's hard to do that job. I, you know, living in New York City, there was a train station called Jamaica Center. Nobody took care of the bathrooms at Jamaica Center, a public bathroom. I go in there and I thought, you know, this would be a great job for some Christians to come in three or four times a day and just clean this bathroom. It stunk. I mean, you could smell it before you even get in. You hold your breath from the time you go in to the time you come off. It was a standing room only. Because you had no place to sit there. I mean, because sitting there, you would be really smelling it. I mean, you come out and you can even smell it on your clothes. And I thought, but that's a job I'd never want to take. This guy took a job that Jews would never want to take. But he got to the bottom of the barrel. But again, when he got there, he came to his senses. And he said, you know, my father's house, I mean, we have servants that's eating and drinking better than I'm at right now. But you know what I like about him? He says, I'm going to go home with repentance. I'm going to go home and say to Dad, Dad, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, going back home is not always just the answer. How are you going back home? How are you coming back to the Father? Are you just going to come back? Well, Lord, you know, I know you take me. And he does. He takes you just as you are, but you need to change. You know, we said Jesus hang out with all kind of people. But he made a change in their life. He impacted their life in such a place, in a way, that they changed. The harlots were no longer harlots. The thieves were no longer thieves. Look at Zacchaeus. I mean, when he came to the knowledge of Christ, his life was changed around. The young man said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to repent. He went from being his own master to being someone else's slave. And now he's on his way back home. Maybe, I wonder what he's thinking going home. But he knew he had a home he can go back to. And if you have strayed away from God, there is a home waiting for you. There's a home waiting for you. No matter how far you have been, there's a home waiting for you. No matter what sins you have committed, there's a Father in heaven is waiting and saying, come back, son. Come back, daughter. I love you. I'm not going to run after you. Isn't it amazing how God gives us that freedom to choose? Some of my thought, if I was God, I'd never do that. I just said, you do this, and this is what you got to do. No choice. God gives us the freedom. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You have a choice. Choose life or choose death. We make the choice. What did he receive when he came back home? Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about the father, but for now we want to look at that son. What did he receive when he came home? The first thing he got back was his identity. He says, put a robe, give him the best robe. The best robe was given to the one that was favored. Think of Joseph. Joseph was favored and he got the colorful robe. He got in trouble for it, but put a robe on him. Give him back that place. His dignity. Slaves normally run around bare feet. You're no longer a slave. Put the sandals on his feet. Give him back his dignity. And then he got back his authority. The sigma ring. You know, it's a ring of authority. It's a ring that if I had a stamp, I had that ring, I could stamp anything. And that's the authority of my family. That's my signature. And I sign for the family. I have that authority to sign for the family. Oh, Heavenly Father, lavish love on us and gives us all three things when we come back to Him. In 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. He lavishes on us that we come back home to Him. Tomorrow when I talk about that father, I want to talk about how he didn't go running peeping to see where the son was and what he was doing. Our family father knows and sees everything we do, and yet he allows us to just go right ahead. Just go ahead. But know there's an open door to come home. But you don't come back home on your own terms. You come back home with forgiveness is there, but repentance must come also. First, there's restoration. Then, there's rejoicing and celebration. Restoration. When one sinner comes back home. In closing, many of us are running away from something. My question to you this morning, what are you running away from? This morning we talk about walk and talk. We don't want to talk it, we want to walk it. Are you walking in the light of God? Are you walking in His obedience? Are you walking in His forgiveness, in His love, in His mercy, in His holiness? Are you walking it or just talking it? What are you running away from? Or what are you attempting to run away from? You know, when I got married, the time period I got married, most of our friends that got married around that time is divorce. One time and two times, maybe up to three times. Running away, rather than standing and working out the marriage, running away. Rather than standing and working out the family situation, running away. Rather than standing and working out a church situation, running away. Rather than standing and working out the stuff in your community, running away. Because it's so easy to run away. But if you know the power of God that is in you, you wouldn't want to run away. If you were to just get into that and receive and use the power that God has given to you, to stand. And when you have done all to stand, stand. You're not going to run away. We have too much people in the church today is running away from something. Some has fear, anxiety, depression. Just running away. If you want to run, run to Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you are tired and heavy laden. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take up my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. What are you running away from? Sometimes just running away from God. Sometimes we get into a place where we want to run away from God rather than run into God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was a man that loved the king, but he found himself in the temple. He found himself in the temple in the time of great need, of hurt, of pain. He found himself in the temple. 6 chapters into Isaiah. And all of a sudden, I see the Lord seated high, lifted up and seated high on the throne. And then, all the seraphims and cherubims flying around, and he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips. Today I've seen the glory of the Lord. And his tongue was purified. Rather than running away from God, he ran to the place in the presence where God was at the time in the temple. Today he's right here. What are you running away from? What is so difficult for you right now? What's causing your rebellion? Why are you rebelling against God or the authority that God has given to you? Or the decision God has given to you, or the direction God has given you. Why are you being rebellious? Why am I being rebellious at times? What's causing selfishness? It's just about I. I'm going to say about I. It's all about me. It's all about I. Jesus had a chance to say it was about I, and he didn't take that chance. He didn't take that choice, sorry. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, hang on a cross for you and I. He could have said, you know, Father, it wasn't me. They'll bring me back home to glory. And maybe the Father would have done it. But he stayed, and today we have salvation because of what he has done. He didn't run away. He was not selfish. Disrespect. So much of that today, when I talk about the Father, that's one of the things I want to get into. The disrespect today in our homes, in our family, in our community. The story of the prodigal son is a picture of God's love for us as his children. God's love for us does not depend on our faithfulness. It is unconditional. He loves us while we were yet sinners. Though he's demanding that we should turn away from our wicked ways. His love is everlasting. Yet he says in Isaiah, your sins have separated you from me. He's a God of mercy, forgiveness. Many of us are living today haunted by our past, something we have done. I've spoken to women that know of women who have 30 years ago had an abortion, and it's wrong, it's sinful, but yet they have come to the place to seek God forgiveness. God has forgiven them. But they can't forgive themselves. And God wants to use them. But because of what they had done in the past, Jesus says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And if the Son has set you free, you're free. It doesn't matter what people say. I had to go for an ordination one time. There was an ordination, and they'd asked if I would come and do some meetings before. And one of the men whose name was in the lot. Some of the church members didn't want his name in the lot because 22 years before that, he had left his wife for a week and went on a rampage with another woman. Came back home and he repented and have lived a different life, a godly life, but yet the church couldn't forgive him. What would have happened if we done the same thing to the Apostle Paul, who was standing there at the feet of, with the clothes. Apostle Paul, named Saul, standing there, and here they were beating up on Stephen and crucify, kill him, stone him. On his way to Damascus to get letters to persecute the Christians. And yet God's mercy on the road to Damascus, changed his life. And we read most of the New Testament from the writings of the Apostle Paul. I'm here just to tell you today, God's mercy extend out. And you may be here this morning and you may be saying, well, yeah, you don't know. Nobody knows some of the thoughts that I've had, some of the things that I've done, some of the places I've been. God knows. And if you ask Him to forgive you and you repent about it, He'll forgive. He'll turn your life around. He did it for me. When I tell you my story, you would see how far down in the pit I was. And yet God came down into the pit when I was ready and brought me out of it. Let's stand. You're here this morning, like the prodigal son. There's something in your life, something you have done, something in the past, someone have hurt you and you can't forgive them, or someone you hurt and they can't forgive you, and there's turmoil. I want to tell you today, God can deliver that. I want to tell you today that there's freedom because of the mercies of God. He extends it. With all eyes closed and all head bowed, why don't you just take a time to examine. Let God examine the heart. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's all about Him. It's all to Jesus. And if you feel like a prodigal, that you have run away and you want to come back home to the Father, just come on back. Just say like that young man, Father, I sinned against you. Though I'm not worthy to be your child anymore, Lord, but just take me back and I will assure you that with repentance, will come restoration. Then there will be rejoicing and celebration. Father, this morning we give you thanks and praise for your word. We thank you for the story of that prodigal son. He made wrong choices, bad choices, and he ran away and left and did things that he shouldn't have done. Yet when he was ready to come back home, you forgave him. And you gave him back the authority that he once had to be called your child. So Father, if there's someone here today that needs forgiveness, as they ask you in the silence of their heart, God, just forgive. Just wrap your arms around them. We give you thanks today, Lord. We give you praise. Be with us throughout this day, Lord. Help us to continue to receive your mercy and your forgiveness and your love, so we can live that holy and godly life you have called us to. Not living in darkness, but living in the light. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And if you want to come back, brother, and if you have a closing song or however you...